At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Parents, when you visit California, childhood rules. If you don't remember how awesome childhood is, just ask yourself,
what would kids do?
Then pack your fun pants and let childhood rule your family vacation. Start planning at visitcalifornia.com.
Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
The triumphant return of French Stewart back to the show by popular demand. He's funny as hell. Also, the news. First, there's LifeLock. Children, well, they're targets of identity theft as well. School or medical office data breaches are common. Limit sharing their social security number and keep documents and devices safe. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Your personal info gets exposed, and it's done so often, it's easy for cybercriminals to steal your identity. Protecting your identity can be easy with LifeLock by Norton. LifeLock detects and alerts you to potential identity threats. So ones you may not spot on your own, like loans taken out in your name. If you do become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. It's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code ADAM. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code ADAM for 25% off.
The Adam Carolla Show presents French Stewart's birthday cocktail party for February 20th. Let's see who's here. Let's welcome the evening's photographer, Ansel Adams. Screenwriter, producer, and director, Robert Altman. Guess who's coming to the party? Sidney Poitier just showed up. American auto racer, Bobby Unser. We welcome U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell. Actress Sandy Duncan is here. Let's welcome rock guitarist and the namesake of the Jay Giles Band, John Giles. Donald Trump's ex-wife, Ivana Trump, is here. Half of Steely Dan just showed up. Walter Becker is at the party. From the band Spirit, the guy who sued Led Zeppelin, Randy California. Charles Barkley is here. So is Cindy Crawford. Kurt Cobain is with us. Trevor Noah's here. So is Rihanna. And Patty Hearst is being held hostage. French Stewart on the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow, that is amongst the most eclectic birthday party. We do a lot of people. There's a lot of guests, but that may be the best.
That's how you know that horoscopes are just bullshit.
Yes.
Like, none of those people make sense with each other.
You're right.
But they're the most. It's definitely the most impressive list we've heard.
It's pretty good.
It's really good.
French is really just backed by popular demand. Everyone loved his appearance on the show, 5 years ago now. Or right coming up on the anniversary, June 6th, I believe.
Good
I'm
Lord.
Reading here. I know, too long. So ever the fans are just like, bring French back. But he's got an animated series he's working on as well, which is a Mike Judge series for Netflix. Mike Judge is so goddamn good.
Yeah.
It's called Exploding Kittens, and that's you're doing VO work on that, right?
That's right, yeah.
When is that due to hit Netflix?
I don't know. They're still making it. We just started it, but it's really fun. You know, it's just going in and just sitting around with some dudes and saying, okay, I'll give you like some of your writing and then you'll give me like a couple of just go crazies.
All right.
And so it's just fun. It just, yeah. But they're lovely, you know, so I don't know when it's coming out. I don't know what the deal is with it, but we're just doing it right now.
Mike Judge is a very interesting guy. He's kind of a quiet, low-key guy, but he's a quiet, low-key genius.
Yeah, he really is.
Yes.
Well, I'd run into him years ago because we're both from Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both about like roughly the same age.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I think we're roughly the same age.
But. Yeah, you're 58. I'll turn 58 in a week or something.
Oh, okay. Well, then learn from me and from my time, my 5 months that I've got on you.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I can tell you some things.
You come down from the mountain, elder. Open your tablet and share your wisdom.
Oh, you don't want my tablet open. Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. No, but he's great. Like they're just it's just fun to do that too, because it just it doesn't feel important. It just feels like having a really good time.
You everyone loves your story. Everyone loves your lunatic dad.
Oh yeah.
I think about your dad crazy and shiftless and a thief, but once every other week I think about the scam where he rents the car, pulls the tires off and puts it back onto the car. You have to rent the same model car you have, but you get a new set of rubber.
Right, and because they only check the paint.
Right, and there's a part of me that admires him.
Yeah, no. It really is.
So here's the thing about your dad, maybe my dad as well. if that just lived in the bubble, like the only thing he ever did that was sort of dubious was rented a 74 Mustang and swapped out the tires and rims and nothing else.
Yes.
You'd go, that's kind of interesting. And that was kind of smart. Unfortunately, that represents an entire lifestyle.
Yes, yes.
And that's
correct.
The problem with having that guy as your dad. Yes, it's not that, just the tires.
Yeah. And that's the problem is that, ultimately, you know, I'm an old dad now. 'Cause like my daughter's 8. I had her when I was 50.
No.
I had one sperm left. Yeah, like his dog paddled his way to victory.
Right.
But now I'm old dad.
Right.
And so I find myself saying things like, oh, walk it off.
Right. Rub some dirt on it.
Yeah, put some dirt on it or walk it off. Or like, you don't want to be the drunk girl crying at the party. Let's get it together.
Right.
You know, but I start to hear my dad in it. And then she, like right now, she's working on this a diary. It's a fictional diary of life on the Oregon Trail.
Oh. Your daughter.
And, yeah. And so she's writing this diary for school, and it's a fastball down the middle. It's like she's like, we're hungry, we're tired, we broke a wagon wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be like, you know what else happened? Some cannibalism.
Right.
You might want to like spice this story up.
Todd's got
right into it.
Right? You know, and she's like, well, people died from bad water. And I'm like, yeah, but they also died from a bear attack.
Right.
Why don't we get a bear attack and then some cannibalism? And so I'm trying to like get her to do it. And then finally she says, okay, well, we can kill somebody, but who do we kill? Little Timmy? And I said, no, you got 8 family members. Like, you're not going to be able to feed them.
Right.
We need somebody bigger. We need an uncle.
Tommy.
Yeah, we need an uncle.
Fat Uncle Tommy.
Yeah, that's right. And I said, you have an uncle? And then she said, yes. And I said, well, what's his name? And she says, Uncle Buck.
Oh, yeah, John
And
Candy.
So now all I can think about is that, you know, he's died of exposure and they're defrosting John Candy for like a month before they can even eat him.
Yeah.
But then like the teacher put the kibosh on it because she was like, I don't know if we want to go down this.
Mm. Oh, so what you're saying, teachers, you don't want it to be historically accurate.
That's right.
That's right.
You're a liar.
Yeah.
You're a liar.
And sugarcoat the past.
Yeah. And the pandemic made you lazy.
Right.
That's what
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry.
Sure, that sounded random, but that was a drop from Uncle Buck.
Wow.
I saw him have a drop from Uncle Buck.
Third, going back, I mean, everyone knows you from Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah.
And then I know, and it was a funny series, and it ran for, God, it's like 5 successful seasons, I'm guessing. Is John Lithgow starring that as well, right?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about John Lithgow other than he plays a lot of different types.
Yeah.
He's very good at sliding in and out of roles. Anyone who
quietly
wants to
crazy
see him,
range.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Watch
yeah.
Cliffhanger. He's like the greatest heavy in the world on Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Wasn't he a serial killer in
Dexter?
Yeah, Dexter.
The
right.
most
right.
frightening season of that show is because of him.
So he's super talented, but I don't really know the guy at all.
He's frustratingly gifted.
Mm-hmm.
Like he went to Harvard. He was a Fulbright scholar. He can play like all these instruments. He can rip on a banjo. He speaks other languages. At one point, we had this scene where he was supposed to be writing calculus on a you know, bored, and they come in and they're supposed to tell them how to do it. And they're like, now that looks like it. And at first you're like, oh, it's amazing. And he's the nicest person in the world. But after a while, you kind of start to hate him.
Sure.
Just a little bit. Yeah. Just a little bit. Because it's too much. It's too much for
one person. Too easily.
It comes too easily, and it's too beautiful, and it's too good. And you're just like, well, why can't I be that? You know, I only see him get mad one time, and it's not that big of a deal. And so it just there's a part of me that loves him deeply and the part of me that's resentful.
You're the Salieri in this case.
I'm the Salieri. Well, yeah. He's the Mozart, and I'm the Salieri.
Right.
Whoever cast that show knocked out of the park with just the talent packed in. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Lithgow.
Yeah, they're all
got Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah, we all had like a reunion about a month or so ago, and it was just the same thing. You just drop in. Everybody's lovely. You know, and not all shows are like that. Like sometimes you got a butthole.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many child stars go on to any number of, you know, failures or addictions or whatever?
And yeah.
Gordon-Levitt's killing it.
Yeah. He's the one who would be most likely as the child star to be the butthole.
Right.
That's right.
And it didn't happen.
What the reunion was like a cast and crew thing, or was it a little more casual?
No, it was like a thing we did. They had us over at the Roosevelt, and we all came out, and they did it for the internet and for Vulture. And we just all got together, and we answered a bunch of questions, and then we just had some drinks and hung out.
Wow, so the whole cast. And who was the woman?
Oh, Kristen Johnson.
That's right.
Who played a fascinating character on the show.
Yeah.
Because she was playing a female human.
Yeah, she was supposed to be Harrison Ford in a dress, and she lost she lost the coin toss, so she had like Harrison Ford had to be the woman.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, God, I totally forgot about the rest of the cast and how talented that group is. Yeah, Lithgow just sort of seems like a genius, and I don't know how you can tell that from watching a guy act in roles. But
it's the Mid-Atlantic accent.
I think he is.
Yes,
is that what it is? Mid-Atlantic standard.
That's right.
When you got on to that, you'd been doing roles and movies and things like that before that, but this was kind of the first big one, right?
Yeah, this is the first time where, you know, it wasn't just a pilot that I killed or, you know, like it was the first one that sort of went on. But I just remember it, like being just the most fun you could have, and you're making money and you can't believe that you're making money.
Was it is it syndicated now? Where is it?
It's everywhere. I don't even know where it is anymore. I can't keep track of it because I've got old man disease.
Do you get to wet your beak? I mean, are you financially
set? Is the mailman your boss?
Yeah. No, it's you know, it's lovely. I'm you know, I've had a nice life. I just have. Oh, and I worked hard for it, and I know that, but also so much of it is just you get lucky. You know, you kind of get lucky at the right time, and some people don't. And it's been lovely. You know?
Who named you French?
Oh, I'm Milton French Stewart IV.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. The first Milton French Stewart killed – thank you. Yeah. He killed a guy on a bridge in Virginia and then ran into the woods.
Wow.
And then the second Milton French Jr. – he was a boxer that was inappropriate with children.
Oh, boy. Mm.
My dad, con man. It took like four Milton French Stewarts to get to fucking actor. Yeah, like just actor. Like, you know, to get
not
to get
ambassador.
To his, yeah, Inspector Gadget, right. Too. But I don't, like, I have zero idea how this went down and why everybody was just so committed to this whole thing. When my daughter was born, I was praying it wouldn't be a boy because I was like, oh, I'd have to do it.
Oh, yeah.
You're locked in.
Milton French Stewart V.
Yeah.
Like, you'd have to do it.
Well, you kind of – usually when the second is, you know, a criminal or unsuccessful, it slows the roll down a little bit, but not
it
with didn't. The Stewart family.
You guys doubled
no,
down.
They leaned into
it. Yeah.
Yeah, punching down.
Did
punching
all did they all go by French or did most of them go with the Milton?
I think they all but went with French. Everybody pretty much discarded the Milton.
Yeah.
The Milton's a hard beat.
It's an easy name to leave.
Yeah, speaking really.
Mike Judge, exactly.
Yeah.
Office Space.
My wife sometimes, like, whenever I'm, like, doing a shady U-turn or something, she says, oh, someone's pulling a Milton.
All right.
And so now Milton is sort of my alter ego.
That's your Jekyll and Hyde.
Yes, right. My Jekyll and Hyde. It's when something's really going bad, like pulling a Milton. Or else like, oh, well, that was Milton-esque.
Speaking of driving, I have this vague recollection of last time we were in here. We were talking about taking a dump into an In-N-Out burger bag
or something. Yes, yes, My wife said, hey, try not to like, it was delightful, but try not to revisit, like, your story about shitting in a bag.
That's Milton
because
right
because
there.
You had a bad taco. And I said, okay, I promise. And so now I will tell you the story of the other time I shit my pants. How about that?
Well, that's fine.
Deal.
Yeah, still a deal with her. Okay. What I would do is if I was doing a play or I was doing a show with kids, they'd get bored and then I would start a fart war. Mm-hmm. And basically a fart war is where you walk by a kid.
It's a great movie.
You fart at him. Uh-huh. Yeah, right?
Farts war.
Fart war. And you fart at him and then you keep score. They fart at you, you fart at them. Mm-hmm. And I'm an older man, so I'm a pretty good farter.
Sure.
And so I would start a fart war. I get it going. I'm up like 8-4 on some kid. Oh, yeah. I see him standing over at craft service. I've got one locked and loaded. Mm-hmm. So I walk up on this kid. He's just getting his breakfast. And I fart, but I shat my pants.
Right at craft services.
Right at craft service. Worse. It was the morning, and I knew it was. And I knew it happened instantly, and so I just.
You win, by the way.
Yeah. Well, no. I waddled up to my room.
Nuclear option.
And I had to see what the damage was, and so I ditched my pants, and I'm like, no, pants are okay. Underwear, goodbye. I put them in a bag.
Let's just turn back the clock a
second if you'd
here.
Like.
What event
if you'd like.
Is this? A play, Chuck E.
So
Cheese?
Kids' Choice Awards.
This is a children's
hospice work. Where are we?
This is a children's show, and it's on the Warner lot. It's a show with a bunch of kids.
Oh, okay.
So they like the fart war.
Right.
Sorry, continue. Up in the room.
Okay, so I get up there. I ditch my underwear, and then I have to take them down in a bag and dump them down in a dumpster.
Right.
You know, because sure. I'm so fancy.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the tour coming by. You got to wave, be right. cool. Mm-hmm. And I got back there and then I cleaned myself up. I freeballed it for the rest of the day because, you know, there was trouble. Mm-hmm. And then I got a call in my dressing room saying, hey, we're ready for you. And so I go down, I hit all my jokes, and they let me go. Now, the point is, even if you shit your pants, you got to be a pro.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
Well done.
The show goes on.
Yeah.
Yeah, the show goes on. It is what it is.
I do like the visual of you tiptoeing down, you know, crab walk into the dumpster and someone going, and to your right is French Stewart, everybody.
How are you?
Wave.
Oh, I had a bad one once when I had my fancy house when I was still like fancy TV. I lived across from Halle Berry and one of the tour guides came around and, I was opening up the thing and I was just throwing my trash away.
Like
I
the Hollywood star.
Yeah, the Hollywood star thing. Mm-hmm. And this woman like takes out her camera and then the guy says, oh, Halle Berry lives over here. And over here is, oh, it's French Stewart. And I just remember she went, oh. like she couldn't be more disappointed. Like,
I paid
just
$7
like,
for
oh,
this.
I thought I was going to get Keanu Reeves. And just this guy? God damn it. Like, what? Beverly Hills Chihuahua 3? Get out.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Let's see if we can figure out famous people we've lived across from.
Oh, God.
Brian, you want to grab a smoke with me?
Yeah,
now, it's got to be across or across Jason. It can't be down the street or okay. whatever it is.
It's just got to be kind of across.
I had John Cryer.
Oh.
But
very nice guy.
That was pre-2.5 Men.
Right.
So
you had Ducky.
No big comeback.
Right. Ducky. Years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ducky. Then I had Patrick Dempsey. He was a few houses away, but
pre-McSteamy.
So I actually had more juice than these two did when I met them.
Right.
Then I had Kathy Bates.
Oh.
Who
oh my.
May have moved into Cryer's house after okay. after he
was
moved
this
out.
Was this pre-Misery or was she famous?
She was famous. She was definitely famous during this portion of her life.
I love how we're just breaking it down to is it it's pre-Misery or is it
no, I don't.
It's about Schmidt era.
Yeah, about Schmidt era.
What year was Misery?
1990.
Maybe this is post. I wasn't near able to afford a house in 1990.
Well, he used to live near the Ringwalds as well. Adam did.
Oh!
He was friends with them.
I forgot, and I wanted to bring it up when we were talking about first cars, and so we should talk about your first car. By the way, so your first car is probably limited to cars that were rental cars, right? Your dad took you a Mini Cooper or something. That would have worked out.
Yeah, the first one was like the one that they – like that was just a family car was the – it was like a Pontiac Tempest.
Oh, yeah.
No idea what that is.
And it was one where they would tell me like, okay, in order to start this car before, you got to – Feather the pump. Like
you got to pump that.
Pump it a few things and then hit it.
Right.
But don't stay too long and then pump it.
Yeah.
It was one of those.
There's protocols.
There were protocols.
That was basically every car had an alarm built into it because the alarm was sort of the code. You know what I mean?
That's
you got to jiggle the keys. Sure. Just jiggle it.
Exactly.
Jiggle the ignition.
Exactly.
Turn it half a turn. Then turn it back. Then pump it twice. Don't flood it.
Yeah, don't do it.
Just pump it twice and start. But before it catches, turn it back off again
back
and wait.
I'll just walk.
Like, just wait.
Yeah.
You've got to be patient. Or else, I had the classic 8-track cassette where you had to put the matchbox underneath so that it would engage. You know, it was
It's
just poor people.
Had to shove a spoon in
there. Yeah, you got to put something in there so that you can get 8 tracks of Journey.
I just had a weird thought that there's no way I haven't had this thought before. But, and Chris, you might even be able to look for it. So what I wanted to bring up is the Ringwalds grew up down the street from me, but they were poor. This is when they were poor.
The poor Ringwalds.
And the older sister, Beth, her first car was like a 77, 78 Toyota Corolla, which she had painted pink.
Ooh.
She was one of these girls that wore the pink sweaters and paint the car and whatever. This is pretty in pink.
Fortuitous.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
That it ended up that way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Real quick, are you familiar with that there was a 1962 Pontiac Tempest Le Mans?
No, but...
We didn't have that one.
Okay, because the other ones are just absolute fucking shit shows.
Yeah, okay. And that's what ours was.
Got it.
I may be bringing this around even further, but I think, was one of Molly's first big movies called The Tempest?
That doesn't sound good.
Shakespearean adaptation?
There's a lot kind of coming back.
There's some version of that or something close to that.
1982.
The Tempest.
Oh.
That was her first
movie. A rom-com with Susan Sarandon and Gina Rollins?
Yeah, or Jenna.
Jenna, you're good.
That is insane.
Raul Julia?
That just came out of your meat box,
your
brain head.
Right on my ball sack.
Your ball sack. This is 1982. That's like when we were both just probably graduating from high school.
That's right.
And you were going to see that movie. What's up with you?
It was a weird movie for a 15-year-old to play in or whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't make sense at all.
But I liked her sister with the pink car and her car
that
she got. People would get paint jobs on their cars like it was no big whoop. Like Earl Scheib
would paint
your car for $44.
Yeah.
And we didn't worry so much about like, oh, they're bringing it down to the bare metal and they're pulling all the jams and rubber off. It's like, no, just go get you, change the color of your car with this dude for $50.
And you go over and you get your gremlin painted like a pair of Levi pants.
Right.
And you move on with your life.
You think French is kidding?
No.
They have a Levi gremlin.
Yeah, a Levi gremlin. And then you go get your picture taken at Olin Mills and you call it goddamn day.
Yeah. They had – now it sounds like you're talking to your daughter.
Yeah. That's pretty much
AMC had a car called the Gremlin.
Okay.
And they painted it blue.
All right.
They put a pinstripe of a stitch on it.
Of course. Right.
They put Levi's decal on the side of it.
Looks
good. And the interior was denim seats.
Yeah. Who the hell would want that?
Well, this is what we were doing in 1978 while the Japanese were eating our fucking lunch.
That's right.
They had to be laughing their ass off.
We went more American. Like, we had to get more American somehow.
No, we were just standing in gas lines trying to get some.
Do not show us a gremlin. Show us a Levi. Is that a Levi gremlin?
No.
Oh,
no.
It's got a little sticker.
There's a picture with the interior, and it is something to behold.
It has the little rivets,
the little Levi rivets.
No, it does not.
It sure as shit does on the car seat.
Did you zip up the seats?
We were nuts. We were all high on cocaine.
That was
we were high on cocaine.
Oh, is there one?
Here, I'm sending this to Ben.
More Levi-y than that, or am I making that up?
Yes, I'll show you the interior.
Oh, it was a whole time. I remember like going to a place like called Skate Ranch wearing Kiss makeup and trying to buy like a lady a mini pizza so that I could like get working with her.
French was 47 at the time.
That's the issue.
Fart Wars on wheels, people. Let's go. Cue it up. Come on. Yeah. We're going to snap that whip.
This
grab on.
Yeah.
The seat has rivets in the middle.
Yes. It was a crazy.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy.
What the crap is that?
But what I'm saying is, you want to know how the Japanese got from 0.07 of the market in 1968 to 81% of the market in 1983.
Yeah.
This is how we were spending time trying to noveltize cars with crossover brands and stuff, and they're like, we're just going to make indestructible cars that get 40
exactly
miles
right.
to the gallon.
Were, like our commitment to the Pinto was just unstoppable. I don't know what happened, but then we had to wait for gas. You remember that? Like
we were just talking about it. Yeah. The embargo.
Yeah.
Did your today is this anyway? There's another weird coincidence, but I won't bore you with it because it won't intrigue many of you.
Oh, no, only
go with
a few.
The hard sell.
Chris, tell me if the Unsers. I don't know if you can hear me. Were the Unsers the Pikes Peak? I know who the Unsers are, but I mean, did they do a lot of Pikes Peak stuff? Because there's one family. It's like a NASCAR family, but it's also Pikes Peak.
Yeah, they're also from Albuquerque. They were big ass into like Indy 500 stuff.
Yes,
but
I can't remember the Pikes. The part that was interesting is I did my CarCast podcast earlier today. We were talking about Pikes Peak and who's going to run Pikes Peak, and they paved Pikes Peak. It's a big race up the hill. And I was thinking to myself the whole time, oh, God, what's that family, this NASCAR or Indy family? This shit. There's a couple families, and I couldn't think of the Andretti's like and stuff
Earnhardt's
like that.
Voice
so I'm sitting here, and I, you know, there's that window where we're talking about it, and I'm kind of going, hey, what the hell? Who's the Pikes Peak family? And then at some point, I go, I can't recall it, and I left it alone. And then French comes in here, and at his cocktail party, he's got Bobby Unser in there, or Allen's, or whatever, who's in there. And I go, oh, Unser, from Pikes Peak. Yeah. And Bobby Unser became the legend of Pikes Peak. So
you are 100% right. You should not have bored us with that
story. That's right.
You know what? But also, I remember when I was a kid, my stepdad built me a go-kart out of like a McCullough chainsaw engine.
Yeah. Chainsaws are what they used.
That's what we used. And they were like, and I would go to this track, and there was always just one kid that was just burning a hole in the place, and he would just go by you, and you're like, I'll just never be as good as that kid, Al Unser Jr.
Wow. You started karting.
Just kicking your ass every time, and it's after a while you're like, I don't want to go.
Bobby Unser attended French's birthday cocktail party.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, I know.
That's what triggered me into the name I couldn't recall 2 hours ago.
The most violent Unser, I believe.
Really?
Oh, allegedly.
Huh.
Yeah, those guys would be like, I've interviewed those guys. They're like, hey, after we do the race Friday night, we'd have a fight. That's just how they did it. It was like dessert to the entree. Like when we were done racing, then we'd fight. It was a common thing.
Who would they fight?
Fight other racers.
Other racers.
Who did something to them on the track. The whole thing about whatever happens on the racetrack, each person who's involved is equally convinced it's the other person's fault 100% of the time.
That's
why you have to fight.
And then they go fight.
The Costanzas, the Festivus there.
Oh, that's right.
The pizza strength.
That's right. Got a lot of props with you people.
That's it. You drink your milk, and then you go get in a fight because you're all milked up.
Yeah. After winning the Indy 500.
After winning.
So, French, you landed on your feet with your stepdad because your stepdad was a good enough guy to make you a go-kart.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Your dad was trying to steal the wheels off a rent-a-car to make you a go-kart.
It's a quandary, isn't it?
How did you get the good stepdad?
Oh, I think my mom took a hard left turn and then a hard right turn. And so she just, you know, my dad just was just a bunch of junk. And then she got one that was just he's just very measured. He's the guy who mows the lawn and like does everybody's taxes.
Mm-hmm. When did you get this guy?
I got this guy when I was about, I think like second grade, third grade, somewhere in there. And then, but before my dad, like, you know, because my dad, it was like a shift where I saw this guy coming and I thought, oh, God, great, because I, like, my dad, he'll put you in a backyard fighting club with other children.
Well, after
where
the
adults
race
are betting on you.
After the go-kart race, you and Al Jr. would go out there and scrap.
Yeah,
right?
You'd go out and scrap. You know, it's just like, he told me, okay, look, you know, you're going to be at a party and some kid might, you know, come up and he might, you know, he might want to fight you. And so what you want to do is just start from the head down. You grab his hair, you poke his eye, you hit his nose, you hit his neck. Like, he's telling me all this stuff. And I'm like, what? Is this a party or is this not a party? Or what's going on?
Is this a sex dungeon?
Yeah, it's a sex dungeon. What's happening? And then the next thing you know, some kid's coming up and, like, you know, pushing you. And you're like, oh, this is, like, real. This is an actual – this is my life now? Okay. All right. So by the time my stepdad showed up, it was like, ah. Chef's kiss. Mm. You know, maybe he's a little boring, but
great.
I will take it. I will take it. And yeah.
He's How old were you when guy. A stepdad showed up?
Like 8, 9.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did your dad outlive your stepdad?
My biological dad's dead now, but that was a whole nother can of worms because he like died in Santa Fe. And then they said, well, he's got a will and he didn't leave anything to anybody because they didn't have anything. But so it all goes to the kids. And so.
Well, he's got his Hertz Express card.
Whole punch card's full.
Here you go,
he's
brother.
In a million mile club.
Yeah. No, we showed up and there was like basically me and my sister show up and there's just a ton of guns that the ATF had to take. And he didn't have much else. He just had a bunch of guns. And so. Then we're just sitting with all these guns and we're like, what are we going to do with these? And people are showing up going like, hey, you know, French owed me money and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well.
Milton French III.
Would you like a gun? You know, like just hey, we don't know what to do with them or whatever. But he also had this thing where he had two dogs that were – one of them was dead, a Bouvier Flanders, giant.
Mm.
And then the other one was like – still there. And they said, well, he wants to be buried with his dogs.
Oh, boy.
And I
well,
said,
you got the gun right there.
Make short work of it.
Yeah.
No, I was like, well, what am I supposed to do with that? I'm like, I'm not, no. And so I said, okay, well, look, his girlfriend seemed to want to keep the other dog. And so I took the ashes of the one dog and then the ashes of my dad. And then I just like put him in my garage for like 5 years. You know, I'm like, look, I'm not going to kill a dog for your ass.
No.
How long did your stepdad hang around for?
He's still around.
Wow.
Yeah, he's still there.
Good.
Yeah, he's rock solid. He just retired a few years back. He likes to go bowling.
That's a dad. That's
yeah, that's
a stepdad.
He's a solid dad. Like just a guy from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually knows how to fix things and do things.
Mm.
You know. I was largely raised by women, so I don't have any skills that way other than being a listener. How are you doing, Gina?
Oh, you know, I'm okay. It's been kind of a hard day.
Okay, that's enough.
Oh, okay.
Being a listener.
Yeah.
All right, let me hit stamps.com. If you've got a small business, inflation, well, that's not helping. If you're looking for a way to cut costs, use stamps.com to mail and ship, plus exclusive discounts like 30% off of USPS rates and 86% off of UPS rates. We've used stamps.com here for 12 years plus. They came on early as a sponsor, and we've always used them. We have their scale in the back. We send out the swag and the books and the merch. It's all with stamps.com. You can start mailing and shipping with stamps.com and keep more money in your pocket. Sign up. Use the promo code Adam for a special offer, including a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts at stamps.com. So go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, and enter Adam. That's stamps.com.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. We've used them the whole time we've been here.
Love
it's been
it.
Over 12 years. All right, we'll take a quick break. French going to hang out, and we'll do the news right after this.
Oh.
Available now for pre-order, Adam's sixth book,
Everything reminds me of something. Advice, answers, but no apologies.
It's insane. I blame everybody but me.
Adam drops knowledge, rants, and laughs, answering actual questions from you, the listener, and some celebrity friends. Follow the link at adamcarolla.com to purchase on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or through IndieBound to find your local independent bookseller. Everything reminds me of something. Coming this summer, wherever finer books are sold.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala. Meet news with Gina, Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Hold on. Great magnet number three.
Oh, boy.
Incident of today.
Uh-oh.
I just looked down on French's fact sheet. Third rock from the sun. We remember, Mom, some of us remember, The Middle. And the reason I say The Middle, that's a very good show.
Yeah.
Is it still on?
No, they wrapped up a couple of years ago.
It was a funny show.
Yeah,
funny
it was solid.
Sitcom.
It just was really solid.
Single camera, not big and over the top, mm-hmm. but just kind of really, it kind of low key, but just sort of funny, straight ahead, low key.
Yeah, really good. Really solid cast. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Not full of recognizable right. people or anything. 09 to 18, so it ran for
yeah,
a while.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was
Patty Heaton, sorry.
Yeah, Patty Heaton, just terrific. And what I noticed, I would play the vice principal. And if I'm doing a comedy, I'm the vice principal who's upset with the kids. And then if I'm doing a drama, I'm a pedophile. But it's just – it's the same sweater vest. Either way.
Sure.
Come on. Let's
same
do the
vest.
Farting game. Yeah. Fart wars.
Here we go, everybody.
In the van, everybody. Fart wars.
One in the chute. Blam.
Got one chambered. Pistons almost at the end of the throw.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's not have this happen
no,
again.
No, no. I'm the Kobe Bryant of fart wars. So.
So I had this weird – I had this weird thought today. So before I came in – I've fired up my cold plunge tub. I've been getting in the pool, but now the pool's getting warm because it's getting warm outside. And my daughter's decided to heat the pool and have her friends over. So outrageous. It's it's too warm for
too
me
warm.
To get into. So I douched out.
You can't drive the incredible golf cart without the warm
water. That's right. You need the Caribbean under you. So I douched out the tub, which hadn't been running in 6 months because I've been in the pool. And I changed a filter and refilled it and got it plugged in and got it going.
Well, by douched out, do you mean just by you being in it?
Oh, yeah.
but in a calculated way.
That, oh, I see what you're saying.
Where I was able to get the scubba off the rim. So I cleaned it, I filled it, I plugged it in, I got it. It's at 45 degrees, and I got into it this morning for the first time in a while. And then I had this thought while I was sitting in it, which is the getting into the tub, it seems painful, but it's really not that bad when you get in. And by the end, I usually sit in there for 3 minutes. I actually went 4 minutes because at the end, I was actually semi-comfortable in this 45-degree water, but it was the middle was excruciating.
The middle.
The first 20 seconds were fine. You get to 45, 50 seconds in, you're like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to take this for another 2 minutes. The middle minute sucks. And then you kind of even out. Mm. And then I started thinking philosophically, when you exercise, I shadow box at night. Shadow box, the beginning's fine. You're fresh, you're whatever. You try to go for 20 minutes. You get to somewhere about minute six, and it's like, I don't feel that good right now.
Yeah.
Somehow when you get to minute 18, you actually feel a lot better than you felt at minute seven.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking about this sort of analogy of either be on the beach or be out beyond the breakers, but then the middle.
Yeah.
The middle's the hard part. You get into a freezing tub, you're better at the beginning and you're fine at the end. The middle scares you because the middle is like you go, I'll never make it to the end. Yeah. This is brutal. I'm running out of gas. And then I started thinking about the series, the middle. That's where French kicks in. I was like, oh, the middle. I was like, walking around the house, go, the middle. That's, you don't want to live in the middle. You don't want to be there politically and get the shit kicked out of you. The middle's middle class. Right. No, you don't want to live in the middle. It's painful in the middle.
Be Patricia Hayden, but don't be French Stewart in the middle.
Do not be me. Trust me.
And then I start thinking about the sitcom, and then I just look down on my page.
Wow.
Remember football conditioning and how rough it was? Like, the football conditioning was tough because psychologically you never knew when it was going to end. It was like you're doing a million jingle jangles or you're doing 10. You don't know.
Yeah,
and finally when the whistle blew and it was over, it's like, oh, sweet relief. But the never knowing when it would end was fucking brutal.
That's the brutal part.
Yeah, no, that's the brutal part.
There's something serious called jingle jangles.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fred, show us.
I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle as I go riding merrily along. And they say, hey, ain't you glad you're single?
Ain't you single?
And that song ain't so very far from wrong. Oh, Sally J.
Here's a song by a gay guy.
That song, I believe, is the theme written for Blazing Saddles and also High Noon. Mm. It's rewritten for both of those movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Lord.
Oh, look it up. I'm curious.
You're doing a lot of making fun of Christopher Lowell earlier. And I see you're rivaling him right now.
I'm singing Westerns.
I've been thinking about this quote. It's been really, like, sticking with me lately. And it reminded me of what you said. Suffer the pain of discipline or the pain of regret.
I love that.
It's really been like rolling around in the old noggin lately.
I like that. No, it is so true. It's so weird that if you get in that freezing cold water, it is so much worse 1 minute in than it is 3 minutes in.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you have to know that because if you know that,
you're in the
because
dip.
You think you're going progressively into more pain and discomfort. If it's this bad at 1 minute, it's going to be brutal at 2 minutes and unbearable at three. But your body is weird and it evens out to the point where at 3 minutes, I was like, I'm going to hang out for another minute because I do not feel this as discomfort.
Oh, I've got this daughter who we went to Lake Tahoe and it was nobody was getting in the water because it was just so cold. But she kind of goes for it that way. And so she got in. And at first it was just like, oh, I'm not even sure that I should have a child in this water. This feels like Polar Bear Club a little bit. Like, it's a child's. I'm like, what's the difference between going to the emergency room or like.
You're on the hook for this.
Yeah, I'm on the hook for it. And then so we were in there for a while and then we all just calmed down. But that first couple of minutes was awful. And then we're just kind of in. And then I look over and I just see that her like lips are blue, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's probably cut off for now.
You're about to get charged.
Yeah, I'm about to get charged. But the thing is that like on her report card, the thing that I like most is they say, okay, well, you know, you're good at this, you're good at that, you're not as good as this, you need help with that. But she's kind, and she has grit.
Oh, they put grit on there.
They put grit.
Wow, okay,
is that a public school?
It's a snotty ass private school.
It's weird to talk.
You don't
about
usually
grit
get grit
system.
At a
no,
private
that's
school.
Good.
I went to public school in Albuquerque, and I got grit, but I don't. You know,
you came by it honestly.
It's mostly fear,
right? And, survival,
know, worry,
right?
Yeah.
Jingle, jangle, jingle, published in 1942.
I'm 100% wrong. They all sound alike, though.
The good news is I knew you were wrong.
I knew you
when
did.
You were telling
I saw it.
Me that. But that's all right.
But the sound alike is for
jingle.
A reason, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we often wonder and sort of pontificate about the kind of unemployed or unemployable people that are in the audience for like daytime talk shows.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there's a new one out of town that is really getting all the attention. It's the one, of course, in Fairfax County, Virginia, where the Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard trial is.
Oh, yeah.
So
I want them all arrested.
Oh, my God. It is a fucking circus. So when the trial first started.
It's the same with the Free Britney people. Mm-hmm. Like,
Michael
people,
Jackson
it's
trial.
Fucking right. Wednesday. It's 2 in the afternoon. How many of you you fuckers are on disability who are holding a sign above your head? Or how many said, I can't go into the office and perform basic functions? You just used a fucking glue stick and bedazzled a fucking piece of cardboard for 4 days, and you're now holding it over your head and jumping up and down. Don't tell me you couldn't fucking go in and shuffle some papers around in an office setting.
That's right. So apparently, when it's this first started, we'll just have this on mute. This is them. This is Johnny's car driving in every morning. Fans would line up around 5 a.m., but then, like, the word got out, it got crazier. Fans would line up at 10 p.m. the night before for a 9 a.m. start in the morning. The sheriff had to put a stop to that. There's a sign that says, effective immediately, the line for the Johnny Depp Amber Heard case, spectators are not permitted to loiter or camp out before 1 a.m. So they all start lining up at 1 a.m. There's fights because people are jumping the line.
But why?
Because they want to be in there. And when Amber Heard went up on the stand, the line was through the city. It was crazy. So here's how they do it. TMZ reports that the court officials have 100 wristbands, like you're at a concert. They give out the 100 wristbands on a first come, first serve basis. Then there's another 100 to 150 wristbands for the overflow room. And still tons of people are turned away every day. Apparently, there's been multiple screaming matches. There's even a black market where people are selling their wristbands.
And yeah. SeatGeek?
Yes, existing. You go on StubHub.
That's like, you know, and you look at it and it's like, okay, well, what really happened? Like a mean pretty girl married a drunk dude and shit went as it goes.
Once upon a time.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
You really just boiled it down to its finest points.
That's really pretty much it. She's just mean and shitty and he's like drinking big drinky. And so that always goes great. You know, that always works out pretty well. And then they're all shocked, like, what?
Yeah.
I just know that if you ever have to record your spouse secretly, things aren't going right.
Yeah. I'd like to stand up for the alcoholics and say.
Yeah, no, sure.
It takes two to tango.
Yeah.
You got
drinky McDrinkies.
Yeah, you got drinky McDrinkies.
Right. But if that person's spouse is laid back, McLaid back, then we don't have a situation.
Right. Yeah, we don't. Drinky McDrinky usually just go to sleep.
Sleepy I get McDrinky. Drunk, and I got a lab named Phil, and he comes in and lays down. I don't get up and go, what's the beef? But you come get my grill, now there's going to be an issue.
Yeah, that's right.
So he may be lubricated, but she's also, you got to find a mean person to come in there and start in.
Yeah.
That's when the fireworks start flying.
Well, that he did. Yeah. And I actually watched, I've been watching this like fucking crazy. And there's also now rumors, because he has a very fiery, very pretty one of his lawyers.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
She has been, when she cross-examined Amber, I was even like, damn, girl, like, is this personal? She's like, oh, how convenient. And isn't that snarky? And making all these little side comments. And now there's a rumor that she and Johnny Depp are secretly a thing.
Oh, that's been floating around. Oh,
yeah.
I watched TMZ.
Of course you know this already.
They have stills of him, like
grabbing her elbow.
Pulling the chair out for her.
I can see why. Like, you know, she was sorting out that other lawyer. Oh. And I just kept thinking, oh, okay. I wouldn't mind. I mean, you know, I would put my marriage in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they need her, obviously, the optics of a guy going after Amber Heard, who's a battered woman. That's not going to work optically.
Oh, no.
No.
They have her, but she goes all in.
Yeah,
she
she's a mean little lizard.
Feisty.
Yeah,
totally.
She really is.
Vasquez. I don't remember what her first name is. But yeah, it is something to behold.
Yeah, I heard she had a boyfriend, but her boyfriend was only in the months department. Like, she's had a boyfriend for 7 months or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think that would, like, stand up against a Johnny
Depp.
Not against Johnny Depp. No.
I'm sorry, Carl.
No.
Look, we had a great time at the Red Lobster and all, but...
And look, you give me the tour of the FedEx facility you worked at. It was awesome.
It was great.
Very VIP.
I thought all... I didn't know there were any electric forklifts. I thought they were all propane powered.
That's right. That's
anyway, so
informative and educational.
Yeah.
Let me just 21 Jump Street my way out of this relationship.
I'm going to go to Malibu now, and I'll see you around.
That'd be quite the power couple.
Valley Village is awesome, yeah. And the duplex is fantastic, except for the Armenians upstairs. But it's a cute place you have. Yeah. But you understand.
Great. Look, we all love Highland Park, but
have you been to Nobu out? Oh, of course. Sorry, sweetie. Of course you have.
Not.
Of course. That's yeah, a dumb course. Question. But oh. The point is. He has a membership over at the, what's that club over there?
Soho.
It's next to Soho Mobo. House. Have you been? Oh, there I go again. Yeah. Of course you haven't been to the Soho House. Anyway, it's probably taken longer than even Johnny's sending his, he actually has an SUV, and then there's actual throngs of fans that actually follow the SUV. So
unbelievable.
So I'll be moving out.
Are you familiar, us LA people? I had never heard of this. Do you know the Eastern Building downtown in downtown LA? Mm-mm. What that is?
No.
It's like, Ben, maybe you can find a picture of it. It's like this really old, beautiful building that I'd never heard of. That's where Johnny Depp lives. He has like five penthouses in the Eastern Building downtown. Oh. I don't know anybody right. really lived downtown. And it is awesome. I did a little investigating. He has houses all over LA, but the Eastern Building, I've never even heard of it.
I couldn't like.
It's like very Art Deco.
I couldn't live downtown because that's just one like one-way street after another.
Yes.
Like just to get any place, you just like.
It's a nightmare.
You just got to turn around in circles and then right. suddenly you're like on Alvarado and you don't know what happened. And it's like
wow,
doing the blessing
yeah.
of the pets.
Then it turns into the turns into the movie Judgment Night where you go down one way and there's a bunch of gangbangers and homeless guys and
that's
fires right. on the street. And you're
that's
like,
right.
oh,
Thunderdome.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never noticed this building. I've never heard of this building.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So it's apparently gorgeous. He has many penthouses there. And it was funny because her sister, Amber's sister Whitney, was on the stand, you know, taken up for her. And it's hard because they're like, and where did you live? Oh, well, we lived in penthouse 3. Well, where did the friends live? Oh, they lived in penthouse 2. Johnny was very generous. We all lived in all the penthouses.
Younger or older sister?
Younger, but
hold on.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a sight unseen bang right there. Amber Heard, younger sister. Well, it doesn't always work out, Gina. But I'm just saying.
Broken clock.
Oh, you only have so much information yeah. and the yeah. sight unseen bag.
I get it.
Yeah.
I think Amber Heard's younger sister named right. Whitney. I'd say most guys.
Well, but that's the yeah. thing.
Go pot that, commit to that.
Yeah,
right?
yeah, because you got an Amber and you got a Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Something's gonna go down. Come on.
So you're saying her sister's not hot?
Oh, I mean, she looks like a normal, nice girl.
I'm playing
she's
a normie.
Okay.
I'm French with.
We'll slow this sometimes.
She doesn't look like a movie star. She looks like a regular, like, girl.
Right.
I don't know. Find a picture of Whitney.
I want to see.
Yeah, let's
and you might
let's
look under
up.
Enriquez. I think that's her married name.
But, you know,
Kathy
what
Bates regular girl or
no,
Gina Grad regular girl?
Gina Grad regular girl.
Now we're talking.
All right. Are we talking about, like,
I'd say compared to Amber Heard.
Midwestern hot? I don't know what.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is Cindy,
well, that's a dolled up picture.
Cindy Crawford and Randy Gerber have a kid.
Yes.
You
yeah.
do not need to see a photo of her before you know you're in.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
It's like a normal looking.
Well, you were shaking your head like you bit a lemon.
Because, would you compare her to Amber Heard?
I don't know. I have to, Chris has to show us a, I need a doll, I need a decent picture of her.
This was her, this was the, this was what she looked like on the stand.
The stand is frumped down.
But her hair, it's like she had a whole hair and makeup team. I mean, it's like in like full highlights.
Still an angle though.
Right.
There's
okay.
It's not, that's why the rapper wears Bing Crosby's cardigan when he's in court. Like, Mark Garagos tells him, put the fucking cardigan on.
Put on the
cardigan. That's true. She
yeah,
did.
Take the FUBU wife beater off and put the fucking
right.
cardigan on.
Amber the other day wore the Nehru jacket that Mike Myers wore as Dr. Evil.
Oh, that's right.
So they do make you play it down. You're right about that. So she's a cute girl.
But like, Amber coming in like in a dude suit. Seems like, wouldn't you want to be all just sort of wifey?
It's funny because I read this article, hard-hitting stuff, about how Amber Heard starts dressing like her boyfriends.
Mm.
And yesterday in the courtroom, she was basically in Johnny's three-piece suit. They were dressed identically. So that's kind of like her thing, I guess.
He said she'll never see his eyes
that's
again.
Right.
Was
so he
that
wouldn't,
the thing?
So he won't look at her. He's never looked up at her when she's on the stand. He puts his blue framed glasses on. He is done.
This is cute.
Oh, yeah. I was only looking at the witness
not
stand
supermodel,
version.
But
she's
cute.
A Kansas 8.
That's right.
Yeah, it was interesting when they were talking about the dog dropping the deuce versus who dropped the deuce how could the dog have dropped the
busted
deuce.
Busted a grumpy, as Johnny said.
Right. But she, Amber worked in.
Busted a grumpy.
She ate Johnny's weed and then had stomach. The dog had stomach problems because the dog ate Johnny's weed as a pup. And
that's animal abuse.
Had issues, yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
much going on.
But I think that I know.
That's the suit.
A dog poop from a.
Yeah,
from
so a, does Johnny.
From a lady poop.
That's right.
Yeah.
Johnny felt the same way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting stuff. So we talked a bit at the beginning of the show, and it's been coming up lately, you know, transgender issues. It's a very hot subject. It's very third rail in some ways. It's also very passé. We are totally over.
Oh, we're past it.
We are so done with transgender. I'll give you a new topic, a new word. This is where we're at. Done with transgender, in with transracial.
Mm.
Now, Rachel Dolezal was before her time.
Oh, yeah.
She was a Pioneer. Villain. She was a witch. Everybody wanted to burn on the stake. Okay. We're starting to embrace that now. In this May 2nd episode of this Channel 4 series in England, it's this British personality, this person named Ollie London, sat down with a black woman, not named, and they discussed whether someone can identify as a different race because Ollie is 31 and they underwent multiple surgeries to look like a member of BTS, the K-pop band, and Ollie seemed to be a very white human before that. They identify as a they, I believe. This is a 40-second clip of a very long debate, but this will just give you an idea of where we're at now.
Millions and millions of people now do almost adopt a lot of the Korean cultural aspects because through K-pop or K-drama, they love it so much, they then start adopting those, whether that's the hairstyle, whether that's the fashion style, whether they want to go and live in Korea. We all have the right to choose how we identify, to be who we want to be. I'm Korean, you know, people need to accept that.
I think your skin colour has a lot to do with everything you're doing. I think we need to recognise that white supremacy is a global issue. What you are essentially saying is that you can change your race and you can't change your race. And I think if you don't recognise that power imbalance in what you're doing and how it's disrespectful to me, you're just kind of proving the point that you're doing this for money and attention.
I think if we've crossed the hurdle of you can change your gender by thinking you're something other than you are, then everything's on the table at this point. There's no logical argument. Like, right. That's insane. Yeah. Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Well, everything's insane then.
You know what's funny? It's like my daughter, like we lost two dogs in 1 year. They just got old at the same time. And we're in the middle of a pandemic. My daughter's just getting bored and so I'm watching the ASPCA commercials. I get Sarah McLachlan into a couple of cats.
Yep.
And so we get a couple of cats. I go, all right, here we go. And she said, well, I said, well, what? They're from the same litter, this boy, that boy. And she said, well, I wanted a girl. And I said, okay, well, that one's a girl.
You're right. We're there now.
It's fine.
It's
like
done.
That one's like, so now we got Raymond and Fifi.
Perfect.
Because they're not going to the DMV.
Right. Yeah.
And the more you look at Fifi, the more you go, that's a sexy little woman.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. So I don't know. I just always feel like do what you want to do. I don't care. But like
– as long as you're a cat.
As long as you're a cat.
I just want to finish your sentence for you.
I appreciate it.
Well, and that's – I had this little discussion with my friends because I showed them this clip. And one of the girls made a good point. She said – or maybe you could say you're any race you want, dress like it, be like it. But when it comes to like speaking for the community, maybe then shut the fuck up.
Well,
you know, but be a part of it, but just be quiet.
There is a distinct advantage to being black, which is any TV show will put any black person on their show to speak for all black people, which I'd be awesome. I want that for white people.
I would
like
love
French,
to see you do that.
You can ask,
I'm speaking for all of the white men.
I am white. Yeah. So
yes.
Let me tell you
what. I come in peace, mostly.
Let me tell you what Steve Kerr and Elon Musk are thinking about now. Yeah. No, that would be offensive. Like you could go, I can't say cracker, but what if I called you a Jack? Like a cracker? No.
No.
You would, for my people,
yeah, we all
you
agree.
Will have crossed the line.
That's right.
They would put one black person on. It's the most racist thing in the world. Like they go, it's that way with voting. It's that way with everything. Well, black person, you're this. That's kind of the opposite of looking at them as individuals, but we do that. I've been arguing about this with, we got to get the black guy to interview the black guy, or we got to get Robin Roberts has to interview Jussie Smollett, because we can't have a white person, a journalist interviewing a black person, because they're going to ask him questions and that's not going to work. But I do want to be the guy, or I guess.
You want to be the spokesman for the...
Well, could you imagine us doing that? Like, oh, we got Jeff Bezos over here. We got Ted Nugent over there. We got Stephen Colbert over here. Like, well, Ted Nugent, he speaks for Stephen Colbert. Does he not?
Well,
look at him. Yeah. They're both so pale. Come on.
Here comes Kid Rock.
Let's go check with Kid Rock to see if
it's... What's the queen thinking?
I'm going to talk to Colbert later on tonight. So I want to clear some things with Kid Rock and just make sure. I don't want to cross the line.
Ted Danson's got something to say.
Ted's got something to say.
That's a good point.
I don't know why I would bring Ted Danson into it.
Yeah, why'd you bring him in?
Lovely
this?
Person.
How dare you?
Oh, why would I besmirch Ted Danson of all
he's
people?
He's got the greatest career ever because he.
Boy, does he.
He looks, you know. Yeah. My theory of like how Katy Perry always looks like she's thinking of something stupid.
Uh-huh.
Ted looks like he's thinking about something smart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he
does.
Just puts his glasses on
smart
and he comes walking
face.
Into
yes,
the scene. And
I know.
And he just looks at you and he looks at the other one. He only says a couple of words and then he walks out again. Well, that guy's great. Look at him. He knows what he's
yeah,
doing.
What are you talking about?
I went to a dinner party, like fundraiser at his house once, and him and Mary Steenburgen.
Right.
Who's also delightful.
Right.
I remember just after the evening going like, Ted Danson, huh? Like if I were going to go dude, I'd go with Ted Danson.
You go full Fifi.
I mean, I'll go full Fifi for Ted Danson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just looks like he knows what he's talking
That's
about.
That's from, what's the name?
Baxter. From Becker.
Becker.
Look how much I love him, though.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, that's you.
I'm bedazzled.
I didn't recognize you with the buzz cut. Wow!
Yeah, that was
you did an arc on Becker.
Yeah, I did a Becker.
Is that what Johnny Depp calls feces?
Yeah, dropping a Becker.
Dropped a Becker.
That's it.
I dropped a Becker. Dancing with Danson, you dropped a Becker.
I've been saying this for a while, but will you do me a favor and will you and Sean Hayes please do a sitcom together where you're brothers?
Oh, of course.
That would be really helpful for me.
I love him.
Okay, that would be great.
Okay. All right. Are you going to be in it?
I would just love to watch it. I'm a P1. Okay. I'll watch
every
episode. I've
worked with Sean Hayes closely.
Oh, from the roast?
No.
On the Woman Show?
No. I was in I don't even know what it is. Remember they used to have calling cards, like whatever.
Oh, the 1-800 collect or whatever it was you did.
I did a 1-800 collect commercial with Sean Hayes where we were both trapped
inside
in
someone's
a
head.
Giant head.
Yeah. I do not remember this.
Really?
All the 1-800
call ATT.
I did one with Terry Bradshaw.
All the greats today.
Yeah. And I remember from that whole shoot was they constructed a giant, styrofoam head for us to climb inside of, and they lit the shit out of it inside of the head. But of course, the ceiling was 6 or 7 feet high. Whereas I was just melting inside of thing.
Yeah.
And Sean Hayes does not sweat. I remember talking to him. I was standing there. It's like they have to stop and pat my, And it's fine if both of you are sweating because then it's just too fucking hot in this head.
Yeah.
He's just like, I don't sweat. And I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Him and Prince Philip.
We have the commercial.
From 99.
From
99. So boring.
Oh, yeah, but they make it.
Oh.
There's the lodge. I'll make him turn.
Insane commercial.
Nice job. Now we're gonna have to call his parents.
We'll use 1-800-COLLECT. Save him a buck or two.
1-800-COLLECT. Now you're being logical.
Poor baby.
Aww. Nice cat.
Hi, Mom.
Use your head. 1-800-COLLECT. Save a buck or two.
Or three.
Wow.
Those were
I forgot. When they're like, so they take this, they construct this head. It's on a soundstage, but then they light the shit out of it, and then they light it. And 2 hours before you get there. And then I walked into it. It's like walking into a fucking oven. And I was like, oh, God, so hot. And they're like, oh, here's this giant Russian fur hat. You got to put this on. And I'm like, why? They're like, because your guy's skiing. So you need this, thermal undershirt, some gloves and a Russian hat and a jumpsuit. And I was like, I'm melting inside of this.
Give it to the guy who doesn't sweat.
I know.
Yeah, I I'm a sweater, but it's just the fear sweats where I like I get nervous and I'm just like, oh, and then I just start sweating. The only guy I'm comfortable sitting next to is Wayne Knight. Because, like, Wayne Knight will just, like...
Newman.
Yeah, Newman. He's a sweater.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's like, oh, yeah, just stick close to me, Wayne. We're in this together, brother. There's not enough powder in the world.
All right, let's bring it home. Did we bring it home?
We'll do it now. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Okay, that's enough.
Gina, that was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, Huntington Beach Sea Legs, that'll be tomorrow night. I think that thing's close to sold out, but you can come on out, sit in the beach tree, people. Do a little tailgate and come say us. Denver, I'll be at the Comedy Works South. That'll be June 24th, 25th. You just go to amcurl.com because I got live shows all over the place. Bill Browder, everyone, Freezing Order, that is available as we speak on Amazon. And then, of course, French Stewart, he'll come back when the animated series drops on Netflix. And also shoot him a tweet at French Stewart as well. Oh, and Dawson's doing stand-up tonight, 7:30, Comedy Chateau, North Hollywood, California. You can get free tickets with the promo code Mike. All caps.
Mike D.
Mike D.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did like Mike like it was plural.
That's what I thought.
Oh, good.
Mic'd up.
Geniuses. Yeah. Mike D. Mike D. All capital. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Bill Browder and French Stewart and Gina and Brian saying mahalo.
Ah, chef's kiss.
You can watch this episode of the Adam Carolla Show at youtube.com/Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see the Ace Man at adamcarolla.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote, or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.